1 Kings 19, and we're in our series, Matters of the Heart. Amen. Matters of the Heart is our series, but 1 Kings 19, verses 19 through 21. 1 Kings. And it reads, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha. You know, I'm just going to say Elisha, all right? I'm going to say it because I'm going to be saying Elijah and Elisha so much you ain't going to know which one I'm talking about. Amen. So don't think I'm special. I just need y'all to know the difference. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing the 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Yes. Lord, we ask for your power and your grace to rest upon your servant, Lord. I ask for you to bring your word like only you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be sitting in the presence of God as we come from the subject, let it burn. Let it burn. Now, I ain't going to be singing Usher, but let it burn. Elijah's call to Elisha. Remember, I'm saying Elisha so you can know. I'm just trying to make sure the people in the viewing don't think I'm special. Elisha was a call that demanded surrender and obedience to the Lord. Heeding the command of God, Elijah left Mount Sinai and struck out to pursue the new mission God had given him. God had just told him to find Elisha, to issue the most important call assigned to him, the call of his replacement. When he found Elisha, the young man was not idle, but rather working hard in the fields plowing. This is what I need some people to know. God don't go find idle people. I need y'all to know that. Amen. If you ain't busy doing something, God ain't going to call you. Some folks just sitting at home waiting on God to call them to do something. But God don't call idle people because idle people are lazy people. I'm just keeping it real with you. Anyway, when he found Elijah, he was working hard, plowing the fields, walking up to the young man. Elijah unexpectedly threw his cloak around Elisha. And then instead of stopping, Elijah continued on his journey, leaving it up to Elisha to decide whether or not to follow him. See, throwing the cloak around someone's shoulder was a symbol that the person is being called of God. In this case, it was a symbol that the young man was to be Elijah's successor, that he was going to be chosen to bear the mission of the prophet. Responding immediately to God's call, Elisha ran to Elijah and requested time to say farewell to his father and mother. Elijah granted him permission to say his farewells, but he strongly encouraged Elisha to consider God's call and not to change his mind. With permission granted, the young appointee returned briefly to his family to celebrate his appointment and departure with the final meal. Note what else Elisha did. As a symbol of turning from his old life to a new life, he slaughtered his oxen and burned the plowing equipment. He was definitely breaking with his old life and beginning a new service for the Lord. Sitting down with his family and friends, he enjoyed a final meal with them. Then he set out to join Elijah to become his successor in training. Look at this. Deacon Moore, I don't know if you caught this, but Elijah burned his past to a crisp. He totally eliminated plan B. I'm a movie watcher. And I just thought about Bad Boys 2. Anybody seen Bad Boys 2? All right, you seen Bad Boys 2? All right. Well, there was a time when they was going to save Gabrielle Union's character. And they was in the compound, at the compound of the drug cartels. The guy that owned, that was over the drug cartel, they was at his compound. And they were driving recklessly. And all of a sudden, Martin Lawrence and the frantic Rays begin to tell Will Smith, "We stuck here." And he said, "Let's go to plan B." And with explicit language, Martin says, "Ain't no plan B." And then he said, "Here's a plan B." And then the camera pans to another character. I don't know his name. He was under the compound in an underground cave. And he said, "Plan B? What in the heaven is plan B?" Yeah. See, what they were trying to show you, the writers were subtly showing you that these men were on a mission and they didn't have no plan B. They was like, "We going with plan A. We getting this lady up out of here. Ain't no plan B. We came on a mission. Ain't no time to abort the mission." See, you got to understand, plan A people don't have plan Bs. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Plan A people say, "For Lord I live and for Lord I die." Plan A people tell you that, "I don't know about you and your house, but as far as me and my house, we going to serve the Lord." Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They was like, "Either we going to succeed or we going to crash and burn. Ain't no such thing as plan B." It's amazing. I'm a transparent preacher, so I just got to tell you one of these stories about when people try to get you to take your plan Bs in life, when God gives you a plan A. I was sitting in Atlanta, and somebody had sent my resume into this church called New Beach Grove, and I began, they accepted me as the pastor, and then I had the contract, and then I had the bylaws, and I went over with some pastors in Atlanta. Some of them in Augusta and other places, prominent pastors. Not pastor with 2 and 3 members, pastor with thousands of members, because I got to go to successful folk. Want to ask for advice. And so they began to tell me, they looked at it and they said, "Hold on. First of all, you make 6 figures over here. They ain't offering you that. You finna go over there for that? No. Then they looked at the bylaws. No. Don't go there for that. That ain't making no sense for me. I'm telling you what they say. I'm just transparent. Ain't nobody mad at me, I don't think, so let me preach. Hopefully ain't nobody taking it personal this morning. Can I just preach? Alright? If not, I'm sorry. But. But they told me don't go because the bylaws said this, and then they were like, "You're going to be on a year probation? What if they let you go before a year?" And I began to go home and I prayed, and the Holy Spirit told me, the Holy Spirit said, "You called the pastor and ain't nobody else called you. So I think you need to go take this opportunity and don't worry about tomorrow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this shall be added unto you." Come on, somebody. Stop looking for a house and a car and a better job and do what it is God has told you to do. Stop trying to make up a plan B and go with the plan A and walk in faith and let go of all that stuff that the devil tried. You know your salary ain't nothing but a distraction. That's all your check is. Your job is a distraction from your call. Amen. God didn't call you to take a job. He called you to call you for a purpose. If you're putting your job over your purpose, it ain't nothing but a distraction from the pits of hell. That check ain't taking you to the glorious place that God want to take you. That's why some people don't pay their tithe and offering, because they think they own something. You were bought with a price. You were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Stop trying to go to plan B and go with plan A. The plan that God has set out in your life. There are moments in your life where you've got to be like Elisha. Or Elisha, we saying, to make sure you know I ain't talking about Elijah. And burn our past. Burn and set the plan Bs on fire. Elisha turned and burned his plowing equipment and used it as kindling, used it as wood to burn the oxen. He couldn't go back. He couldn't go back to his old life because he destroyed the means of going back. He's saying, look here, I'm not going to be a farmer anymore. If God is calling me to the office of prophet, I'm going to leave this stuff alone and walk in what it is I'm called to do. I just got to say, look, stop and think about the symbolism of what Elisha did. He literally cooked his whole life. He eliminated the possibilities of going back to farming by eating the oxen and burning his plow equipment. It doesn't matter what you're trying to do, whether lose weight, complete a dissertation, train for a marathon. The first step is always the hardest and longest. And in order to step toward your future, you got to let go of your past. You got to set it on fire. You got to burn that time machine that can take you back to the past and keep you walking down memory lane. Memory lane ain't doing nothing but holding you in the same place. And see, the problem is some of us think we just need to forget our past failures. You need to forget your past successes too, because y'all will be going around talking about, remember we prayed back in 1985 and we got that thing. Remember, oh Lord, remember. It's plenty of old men in the club reminiscing when they had somebody. Your past successes will hold you back too. That's why Paul said, forget those things which are behind. He didn't say if it was good or bad. He just said, forget all those things that are behind you and press toward the mark of the holy call. Some of us can't go to our future because we still stuck in the past. Elijah left everything. No turning back. He left his job. He left his money. And he totally bought in to God. He was fully present in the here and now. See, to be fully present in the here and now, you live today like this the first and last day of your life. See, that's why some of y'all can't hang with me, because I think I might die today. I'm keeping it real. I don't know when my time. So my thing is, whatever day I die on, I want God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I ain't got no time to be sitting around here with idle folk that don't want to do nothing and wondering why I always do so much, because tomorrow is not promised. Y'all sit here reminiscing about what y'all done did in the 90s. It's 2017. You talk about what you used to do.
Well, we used to do it this way before you got here, but y'all ain't even doing it that way.
No more. See, when you caught in the here and now, the past can't hold you back, and the future can't distract you. Now, you don't forget all your past, because you got to have some reference points and not make mistakes that you made before, and you still got to plan for the future. But what you have to live is today is the present, is understand that tomorrow is not promised, and whatever God told me to get done, I'm going to well try to do it today. If I got to light my past on fire today to show God that I'm going where he wants me to go, give me a match.
Oh, y'all don't hear me. Can I wake you up this morning? Y'all remember that song, look to your neighbor and say, my past is on fire. I don't need no water. Let my wretched past burn. Let it burn. Set it on fire. Set it on fire. Have you ever made a statement of faith? A defining decision accompanied by a dramatic action that symbolizes your absolute commitment to Jesus Christ and his cause. Have you ever made a dramatic statement of faith? Remember the tax collector who put his faith in Christ? At first he was stealing everybody from everybody. Huh? And then he went and gave half of his money to the poor. And then he said, anybody I cheated, if they can remember I cheated them, I paid them back four times what I cheated them of. That's a statement of faith. And it's amazing. And it's not amazing. It's fitting. I mean, it's fitting that he was tested in the area of money, since that's where he sinned the most. Do you know what you're going to have to burn is your greatest challenge, your greatest setback, your greatest infirmities, whatever it is that's in your eye that you can't let go of. That's what God wants you to light on fire. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Now, don't burn, sister girl. Now, don't burn. I got to tell you, don't burn, brother man. I'm not, you know, it's symbolic. Some stuff you just can't light on fire. You know, you got to get some folk crazy. You got to get them disclaimers. Don't light nothing on fire that don't belong to you. Amen. Amen. If you still got a mortgage, don't light that on fire either. They're going to think you're trying to get an insurance break. Amen. Remember the prostitute that anointed Jesus? She broke her alabaster jar. She broke it to wash his feet. That was valuable. Remember Judas? He was like, hold on. We could have used that to take care of the poor. That's a whole bunch of money you pouring on his feet. And Jesus says, "You have the poor you have with you always." She made a great statement. Not only was it valuable, but that was part of her sex appeal. Come on, somebody. She was a prostitute. She needed what was in that jar to make herself smell good and be presentable and look real good and oil herself down. Come on, somebody. Can I talk to the folk who ain't always been saved? Yeah, that was her sex appeal. So when she gave it to Jesus, she was symbolizing that I'm letting this old past go. I don't need this glistening oil no more. I'm going to give it to Jesus. My past I'm putting behind me. Oh. Remember the revival in Ephesus? They were having the scrolls and They were sorcerers and warlocks and witches, and they would begin to try to be soothsayers and try to sorcerers and tell you the future and look into crystal balls and things like that. Well, when they got a hold of Jesus, when they got a hold of the promise, they burned all the scrolls, which came up to be about 50,000 drachmas. Now, 50,000 drachmas is a lot of money. A drachma is a piece of silver that was a whole day's work of wages. So when they set it on fire, if you calculate it, it was around $3.8 million that they burned. Come on, somebody. They burned $3.8 million worth of stuff to say, you know what? For God I live and for God I die. They were like, I'm going to show God that I'm radically changing my life and I'm going to follow him and nobody else. Problem with us is we want God to do something for us without changing. If I give you $20 and it costs $5, I want my change. Right? I ain't tipping you $15 for a $5, whatever I just bought. I want my change. When you ask God for a blessing, he want his change. He want his change. Give him your change. Give him his change. Einstein will call you crazy, insane. You keep trying to do the same thing and want God to bless you. Keep doing stuff the same way. That's why I get tired of churches saying, we always did it this way. That's why your church dying. See, when Moses struck the rock one day, God told him to strike the rock one day. The next day, he told him to pray to it, Sister Payton. And then the next day, when he was mad at the people, he struck the rock. God didn't get mad and tell Moses he wasn't going to the promised land because he struck the rock out of anger. He was telling Moses, you ain't going to the promised land because you're trying to do a today's message with tomorrow's word, with yesterday's word. You're trying to do yesterday what I told you to do a different way today. The problem with church is you think everything's about to stay the same. Crazy. I can only imagine how the Moses Tabernacle Baptist Church felt when Moses died. Yeah. And they had to go to New Life Joshua Baptist Church. And Moses Tabernacle Baptist Church, he had a staff. That's right. Joshua ain't got no staff. I can't follow him.
The problem with you all is you think God doesn't change his methods. He doesn't change his principles, but his methods do change. When they crossed the Red Sea, he stood on the side and they held the staff and they spread out first and then they walked on dry land. But when he called Joshua, they stepped in the water first with no staff, and as they stepped, the water moved. God wants to speak to you in different ways because he don't want you to get caught up with the method. He wants you to get caught up with talking to him. Oh, y'all don't hear me. It's gonna kill some church folk this morning because you thought everything was about to stay the same. Yes, God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, but not his methods. You got the old covenant and the new covenant. Jesus was intertestamental to bring them both together, and you keep telling me God does everything the same. Ooh, people miss the move of God because they don't want to change. Because they don't want to hear God. They want to hear their opinions.
I get this much tired and I've been here this long, so what I say should matter.
See, the good thing about me is I know my opinion don't matter either. See, my opinion don't matter. Is what God speaks and what God says and what God say do. Come on, somebody. I know God has a blessing for me. Tell me something. If it was in my opinion, I would have had a $60,000 commission when we sold that church. But I ain't got no opinion because I got to do what God tells me to do. And if he say light $60,000 on fire, that's what I'm going to do. When you going to get obedient to God?
See, the problem with people can't understand men and women of God because they ain't never been obedient to God.
Folk that can't follow leadership ain't never followed God. Because if you can't follow the leadership you see, I know you ain't following God. I know you ain't. Anyway, you got to get out of your past. You got to stop regretting it and learn from it. Let go of guilt and take hold of God's grace. Stop putting yourself on guilt trips and allow God to heal you. You cannot separate or divorce yourself from your past. But through the power of Jesus Christ, he can reconcile your past. He can by redeeming you. Come on, somebody. Do you know your test ain't nothing but some testimonies? Your misery will become your ministry. Your setbacks are your setup to be blessed.
See, you thought God couldn't use you. You know, if they can take a Coke bottle, a plastic, recycle it, and put it back on the shelf, you think God can't recycle your mess? Huh?
Do you think God can't take the wretchedness that you done been throwing your life in the trash for all these years? God can pick you up, turn you around, and put you on solid ground, recycle you, and put you back in the kingdom business? You know, it ain't good to call folk who ain't never done nothing wrong because they'll judge you all day and all night. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to even act like I'm a saint. I'm just a saint that's a sinner that fell down and got back up again. But you know what I'm saying? That's why I'm not going to talk about nobody. You wonder why I can forgive people when they lie on me and talk about me and restore people? Because I know how much God has restored me. God has covered me in my mess. God has covered me in my sinful nature. God still calls me the pastor, although I'm nowhere near perfect. I know it's God and not me. Oh, y'all don't hear me? The same way you wondering how I can pastor is the same way I wonder. The same way you want to hate on me, I do too. I don't understand it. God, how you use me in my mess? It baffles me how God uses this wretched man from Atlanta, Georgia. Took him out of the midst of sin. He still falls, yet he recycled me and put me in the kingdom business.
Oh. The problem is, you know why God, Sister Drake, makes you experience pain? It's because he wants the pain of your today to outweigh the pain of your change. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Unless the pain of your right now doesn't get greater than the pain of your future, you won't change. Until you hurt bad enough, you won't move to the next level.
Yeah.
Y'all don't hear me? I had to delete some folk from social media. I had to stop fussing with everybody. Had to learn how to ignore folk so God could take me to another level. But I had to learn how to endure the pain, even the people who were supposed to be your right and left hand people in your life. You had to learn how to deal with disappointment and keep on rolling. Your pain today has to be greater than your change. That was a story that an old preacher told of a dog that was howling all night, all night long. And the owner and the man next door said, "Why does the dog keep on howling?" And the owner said, "Because he's sitting on a nail." And the neighbor said, "Why don't you get the daggone dog off the nail so he can stop barking?" And the owner said, "If it hurt him bad enough, he'll move." Huh? If it hurts you, if it hurts you bad enough, you will change. You will move. You'll get your life together. God chastised those who he loved. See, his rod and his staff shall comfort you, but sometimes that staff for your backside and not for your enemies. Oh. Let's get back to the text. Yeah. Elisha, or we say in Elisha to make sure you know it ain't Elijah, was born and raised in a region of Israel known as the Abel Mehola. The English word that the Hebrew translates to is "medal of the dancing." That sound good, don't it? Better than Dancing with the Stars. This ain't the washed up medal. This is a rich place of the Jordan. This is where paid people live. Elisha wasn't poor. You know, if he would just burn a leg and a thigh, it don't matter. No, he was from the Jordan, the rich part of the Jordan River. He said he had 12 yoke of oxen. That's 24. 12 times 2 is 24. A yoke is 2. That's why it says my yoke is easy, because Jesus saying if you yoke with me, I'm going to carry the yoke.
Yes.
If somebody ever helped you carry a box and you like, they so weak, it's making it heavier for you. Like I just got it. Huh? You know what I'm saying? I know you want to help me, but just move out of the way. Yoke is 2. And he was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen. Most people only had 1 yoke of oxen. They got 12. They paid. Elisha, not broke. Elisha is rich. In fact, he's wealthy. So, but then he went and he burned his oxen and his plowing equipment. Now, the writers don't get into it. But if I got a child and I got 12 yoke of oxen that I gave him and he burned it at my house, I don't care what God told you, he's going to tell me too. He called to be a prophet. You're going to put that match out and go and take yourself down the street with Elijah now. Set it on fire. Burned it all of his inheritance. It wasn't a little bit of oxen. 12 yoke of oxen is a lot of money. Most people had 1 yoke. He had 12. Burned it all and ate it to make sure he wasn't going to go back. Whew. Burned it all. He didn't need to do it. But he wanted to make a statement to let God know I'm all in. And ain't no turning back. Ain't it?
Hallelujah.